possible storm tops of 27. Good morning, I'm Gemma Bath. Football Federation Australia is dusting out its near-empty trophy cabinet after the national team claimed the Asian Cup in a gritty extra-time battle with South Korea. Danielle Pogson watched the Socceroos make history.
It was touch and go for the Socceroos after a 91st equaliser sailed past goalkeeper Matt Ryan and shattered the hopes of millions of Australians. But the fight wasn't over, and off the boot of James Troisi in extra time, the men in green and gold were delivered a lifeline. The 2-1 victory isn't just another win for the Socceroos. This is the biggest win in their 93-year history. It's likely to pave the way for future success, including European contracts for our younger players and a rise up the international rankings. Danielle Pogson, Macquarie National News.
Anastasia Palaszczuk is set to become the first woman to win her state election from opposition. The Queensland Labor leader came close last night, with Labor holding 44 seats to 33, with 70% of the ballot counted. Premier Campbell Newman lost his seat of Ashgrove and announced he was out of politics. The Prime Minister would lead the Liberal Party to a historic defeat if an election were held today federally. After a week of leadership speculation, a new poll has the government's primary vote at just 36%, with support for Tony Abbott plunging to 27%. Attorney General George Brandis has told Sky it's what you would expect after the week they've had.
Abbott and, frankly, the government have had a shocking week, a really shocking week, in which they've been pilloried on the front page of every newspaper in the country day after day.
A teenager has been winched to safety after falling from a cliff in the Royal National Park. The 17-year-old plummeted 5 metres from the coast track at Watamala last night and was unconscious. He was flown to hospital with a broken nose and facial lacerations. Protesters are preparing to gather in Newtown against the state government's WestConnex road plan. 1,500 people are expected to take part in the demonstration along King Street from 1 p.m. They fear a tunnel created as part of WestConnex will clog local roads. And 12 Australians are facing the death penalty across the world, in addition to the two Bali Nine members, Mayuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan. To sport, and returning to our top story, the Socceroos' young squad has delivered winning the Asian Cup final 2-1 against South Korea. Rising stars Massimo Luongo and James Troisi found the back of the net to help the Aussies get their hands on the country's first ever major trophy. 22-year-old Luongo believes the team's squad has a bond like no other.
Together we can, you know, we can make history, and we have. And, you know, today was just, you know, no words can describe, because everyone put a shift in.
Serena Williams has claimed her 6th Australian Open crown after beating Maria Sharapova in the final. Craig Gabriel reports.
Serena Williams is closing in on the Open era record of Grand Slam titles held by Steffi Graf, who has 22. Williams won her 19th, putting her clear into second place. The world number one beat Maria Sharapova 6-3, 7-6, with that second set proving to be incredibly enthralling, that saw Sharapova saving 2 match points. On her 3rd match point, Williams served what was believed to be an ace, but it was called a let, so she went back and served again. This time it was an ace. It was her 18th. Craig Gabriel, Melbourne, Macquarie National News.
Australia's Cricket World Cup preparation will continue today when the team plays England in the one-day tri-series final at the Wacker. Cycling legend Cadel Evans will ride for the last time today. The 2011 Tour de France champion is the main draw card at the Great Ocean Road Race. And in the English Premier League, wins to Liverpool, Manchester United, Tottenham and Newcastle. This is Macquarie National News. It's 7:04. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A shower or two today, tops of 25 degrees on the coast, 27 in the west. A shower or two and becoming windy tomorrow. Right now in town it's 20 degrees, humidity's at 77%. It's 19 in Bankstown, 15 at Campbelltown, 18 degrees at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond, and 12 at Katoomba.
If Gallops Racing is your fancy, you'll get it all on Sky Sports Radio. We're with New South Wales Racing all the way from Racing HQ.
Well, we've got plenty of thoroughbred meetings today. We urge people to get along and enjoy it.
Trainers and jockeys supply vital info.
He's in super form, and I think he's a genuine each way champ.
Form experts, we've got the best. You got me around your fingers. Racing is 7 days a week, and Sky Sports Radio doesn't miss a beat. Whoa.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy, and it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Here we go.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 is the open line number. SMS is flying in the door, 0419 767 272. Been listening to you, Stewie, since you've been on, and for the first time I got to agree with you regarding footy boxes. That's Steve from Megalong. He's the Megalong mug. I just don't like it. I know it's great and there's a bit of publicity on that, but I don't know.
A good point you made about the other
I feel
pro
sorry for the,
who would bring
the
their best.
I'd like to know, and I don't know if we could ever find this out, but I'm going to... Here's a task for Jeremy out there, 7 o'clock in the morning, he's just woken up. But what did Gallen and SBW get, and what did the two undercards beneath them get? I don't know how we're ever going to find that out. I don't know who the promoter was, but if we can find out those numbers, I'd be really, really interested, because I imagine there's a massive difference between them. Another one here. Can't we just have two 25-over innings? Wouldn't that be great? That's just 2020 cricket.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Jack from Cowra, he's the Roosters fan that emailed in a bit earlier, I think. I don't know, one day cricket, it still rates his head off.
And that's the key, people still watch it. But there is obviously that, there's a fair bit of the cricket audience now going towards 2020, Stu, there's no doubt about that. But I think once the World Cup gets underway and when we see some of these world-class cricketers like de Villiers, Kane Williamson from New Zealand, etc., people get wrapped right up in it.
They certainly will, but you hope the TV ratings will be great for all that. The TV ratings for the next event
will be astronomical worldwide.
And we'll talk to Dick Fane about it shortly.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, it just must be fever pitch over there in Seattle, and he's just come off air, we hear, so Dick Fane, he can give us all the latest. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, guys, and I'm sure it is fever pitch in Seattle, but it's even more fever pitch here in Glendale, Arizona.
I'm sure it is.
I'm literally 500 meters from the stadium right now. We just did our show here, patched it back to Seattle, and everybody's just insane here. You can hear the music in the background, I'm sure. It's a great party atmosphere here. They have a beautiful, brand-new complex where just nothing but bars and restaurants and fountains and concerts. And
wow.
Snoop Dogg was playing here last night. Imagine Dragons was playing here last night. This is the place to be in the United States this weekend. There's no question about it.
The Super Bowl every year is like that. Just on the game itself, I know you're tipping Seattle. I can understand that. But are you expecting a close encounter?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question it's going to be a close game. I'm not as confident as I was last year. I didn't think that last year was going to be the blowout that it was. I certainly didn't see Seattle winning 43-8 over a very good Denver team, and I do not anticipate that type of blowout this year. Seattle has not been a team that blows out many teams. I mean, maybe once or twice a year they'll handle a team by four or five touchdowns. But, you know, they like to keep things close to the vest. They like to run the football. They like to control the clock. They like to win low-scoring games. And that's the game plan for Seattle, is to win a low-scoring game. They're very, very comfortable in close games. And so I anticipate a close game, and Seattle usually wins those close games.
Dick, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Dick, it's the battle of the young gun versus the old master, so to speak. Russell Wilson versus Tom Brady. What are the strengths and, if I could say this, the weaknesses of both the quarterbacks?
Well, I think they're very different in the sense that that Russell Wilson is a mobile quarterback. He is a guy that if you rush him but you don't get to him and you let him spin out of the pocket, he's very, very athletic, and he can beat you a couple of different ways. He can beat you by running 15, 20 yards down the sideline, or he can beat you by escaping the pocket, escaping the sacks, and throwing the ball 30 or 40 yards down the field. And, in fact, Seattle wide receivers have a tough time getting open in just 3 or 4 seconds. They sometimes need Russell Wilson to create 3 or 4 extra seconds for them to get open. And so that's where Russell does his major damage down the field, is escaping pressure. So New England's got to be very, very careful of that. Seattle's got to get pressure on Tom Brady as well, but for a different reason. Tom's not going to run away from anybody. He's 37 years of age. He's not going to outrun a guy that's trying to come up and sack him. But he is so good at just moving a little bit, finding the open area, finding the open spot in the pocket, and then the more time you give him, he just inserts balls into the smallest windows, whether they're deflated or inflated balls. He is just great putting those footballs into the exact right spot. He knows who to throw it to. He knows when to throw it. I mean, Tom Brady is one of the greats of all time. I mean, he is on the Mount Rushmore, we call it, of great quarterbacks, which is, you know, the top four quarterbacks in all of the NFL history. Tom Brady's on that list.
Well, I think he's won 3 Super Bowls, and he's been to the big dance 6 times, hasn't he, Dick?
Right.
Yeah.
He has, but he hasn't won it in a decade. And, you know, it's interesting. People are talking about, you know, since the Spygate, where New England was accused and found guilty of cheating the last time about 10 years ago, they haven't won a Super Bowl since then.
That's
they've been to a couple, and they've lost them both. One in big-time upset fashion where they were double-digit favorites. So I don't think... you know, I don't think Bill Belichick, the coach, or Tom Brady has lost their touch. They're certainly capable of winning this game tomorrow, but they're going up against a very, very imposing defense, the best defense that the NFL has seen, I think, in 25 years. I don't think the NFL has seen a defense like this Seattle defense has been over the last couple, 3 years. They haven't seen one since probably the Bears of the 80s.
Yeah, they certainly have. I've got to ask you about the press conference during the week. It made headlines over here, just the same answer 20 times.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch, you know, he's been the story over here, and it's kind of unfortunate that some of the focus has been taken off the football game, and instead it's been put on, you know, Deflategate or Marshawn Lynch coming up and saying, "I'm just here so I don't get fined." You know, Marshawn Lynch marches to the beat of a very different drummer, but he just doesn't like establishment. I think that's the thing. He's not the type of person that likes to be told what to do, and so he's going to revolt against anybody telling him what to do, and if that means he's got to pay a $30,000 fine here, a $50,000 fine there, doesn't matter to him. He makes $6 million a year, and he's getting some great endorsements from being marching to the beat of that different drummer.
Dick, no team's gone back-to-back and won successive Super Bowls since the Patriots in 05. You said Seattle's defense is their big weapon, I guess, so to speak. Can they score enough points to go back-to-back?
Yeah, that's the big question. I think it depends on how much points they need to score. If they need to score 30, I don't think they can do that. I don't think Seattle can win a 30-28 game against the Patriots. If Seattle's going to win, they're going to have to win a 24-21, maybe as high as, I think probably 25 or 26 points is about as high as Seattle can go against this Patriot defense. But Seattle doesn't give up 25 points very often. They've only done it a couple times all year long. I mean, just look at last week or 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game. They had Aaron Rodgers in a spectacular Green Bay offense. They gave Aaron Rodgers basically 4 opportunities to score touchdowns, and he couldn't punch it in. They only got field goals out of it. That's how good the defense is. So it would be a monumental feat score, even Tom Brady to score 27 or 28
yeah.
against these guys.
Dick, your tip obviously is Seattle.
I'm tipping Seattle. I'm going 23-20. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game at first. I think it's going to be, you know, a 3-3 game maybe at the end of the first quarter. I think by halftime, maybe kind of a 10-6, 9-6, very low-scoring game. Then it'll open up a little bit in the second half, but I'm going 23-20 Seattle.
Well, the Seattle are paying $1.95 and New England are paying $1.88. The line, it's only plus 1.5, so you're spot on.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hope so. Let's hope we're celebrating a victory tomorrow, guys.
Hey, Dick, just a quick one. Can you put it in perspective, the Super Bowl, say, versus the World Series in baseball, the NBA championships? They're the three biggest sports in America. Can you put it in perspective?
Put all other sporting events in the country together, add them all together, and it's a quarter of the Super Bowl.
Gee, there you go. That says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. The nation literally stops, doesn't it, Dick?
Yeah, no, it really does. I mean, you're going to have... You're going to have 200 million people in the United States watching this game tomorrow.
Wow.
Extraordinary.
Dick Fain, enjoy your night in Arizona. Enjoy tomorrow. Hopefully your team, Seattle, gets up. And really thank you for your time this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. See you.
Thanks, Dick.
There he is, Dick Fain, Radio KJR over there in Seattle.
That's their Melbourne Cup, Stu.
Yeah,
it stops the nation.
It literally does.
Probably the world, really.
You know, Monday Night Football's their biggest event over there. And it's funny, we have so much complaints in the NRL about Monday Night Football and... It's their biggest event.
They love it, yeah.
The grounds are sold out. It's and you're talking about where the Green Bay. It's freezing over there. Like it's they're all coming out in their woolly coats and hats and all that. It's an absolutely remarkable
bucket list item. That one, Stu.
Is it
bucket list
on the list of things to do?
One, go and see one, So.
All right, well that's it. We're going to organise a road trip. We're going to get Tab to sponsor it. Tab's going over as our correspondent next year.
If Gallops Racing is your fancy. Get it all on Sky Sports Radio. We're with New South Wales Racing all the way from Racing HQ.
Well, we've got plenty of thoroughbred meetings today. We urge people to get along and enjoy it.
Trainers and jockeys supply vital info.
He's in super form and I think he's a genuine each way champ.
Form experts, we've got the best. You got me around your Racing is 7 days a week and Sky Sports Radio doesn't miss a beat. These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water, naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
If you're after a skids deal loader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skids deal loader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skids deal loader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsdealloader.com.
I've got to make sure Stewie is listening. This is for you, Stewie. Are you looking?
Hang on, I need a pen. Hang on.
Okay. Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling, Stu? Then look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. Stu on the first and third Tuesday of every month.
What do you recommend I get? Yearling.
A yearling,
yeah.
That way you can have more fun.
I can get one.
And the catalogues you can pick out. Catalogues you can pick out your yearling are available
what
5 days prior.
Is colour an issue?
Not really.
oh, damn.
Predominantly they are bays, but we'll find you one, Stu.
Okay.
This is my mission in life
over
next month.
Okay.
Because, Stewie, trading horses have never been easier. No more unnecessary transport of valuable assets. With regular sales, there's no more waiting. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock across Australia and internationally at bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
So outreach narrowly. Chamarel's about half a length away on the outside. outside. Mahaweb the inside, followed by Vancouver coming down the outside. Outreach at the furlong pole. Vancouver coming down the outside. Outreach the leader from Vancouver at the 75. Vancouver and Outreach. Outreach the inside. Vancouver. Vancouver the outside going home the best. And Vancouver got the money by a long neck to Outreach. Three lengths away third. Either Chamorel or Mahaweb, then Ulster. And the last one cashing
Well, there's
up.
The new golden slipper favourite. Vancouver unbeaten in two starts. Backed up from the Breeders' Plate in the spring. Super impressive yesterday. Significant improvement to come. Trainer Gay Waterhouse knows what it takes to win the Golden Slipper. She's won five. She's on the hunt for six, and she joins us this morning on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Gay, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Ray. I certainly am on the hunt for six.
Well, this colt looks to be the one, Gay. He was terrific yesterday. Still did a couple little things wrong, but I guess that's just inexperience.
Well, I think more importantly, they're not fully wound up. You know, it's only the beginning of a preparation. It's going to be a very arduous one, a very testing one. You know, when I set a horse for the Golden Slipper, I really set them for the Triple Crown. And, you know, that's the three major races for the two-year-olds, the Golden Slipper, the Fires Produce, and the Champagne Stakes.
It's got all the attributes, Vancouver, to be a real contender, you know, in the next 6 months, a year, whatever it may be.
Well, he's going to be a contender, whatever he runs. He's a lovely, big, strong. Physically, he catches your eye. He's a son of Magnadori, and he's a very big, strong, strapping type of horse. It was a quality field, but I suppose the ace thing up his sleeve is he had the spring experience. All the others were unraced in the Canterbury yesterday. Quite an unusual thing, I think, Ray, don't you?
It was, Gay. Gay, I think one of the points that you took out of it yesterday, and I know Tommy Berry did, was in the Breeders' Plate, he basically led, powered away one. Yesterday, he had to come from off the speed, so that adds an extra string to his bow, because we know Golden Slippers, things can go wrong at the start. You've only got less than 70 seconds to get it right, so you need a horse that's got some versatility.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it was interesting because they all jumped on terms yesterday, but all of a sudden the ones inside of him sort of mustered more speed. And Tommy astutely balanced the horse, let him find his feet, and didn't panic. Oh, my gosh, you know, I'm right back in the field. I'm second last or last. You know, my gosh. Because there was only six of them in the race, you know. And how often do, you know, riders and horses get undone in small fields?
Yeah. Mm. Gay, I was talking to Stewie earlier, and I know, as I said earlier, you've won five Golden Slippers, but you really do concentrate so much on your juveniles and getting them ready to peak for the autumn carnivals.
Look, it's a bit like being a hen on eggs, I say. Mm. You've got to watch their every move because they peak very quickly and they go off very quickly. And it can be a subtle thing like their coat or their eye being a bit dull. They can lose too much condition. They can't be too light on you. They can be too fat, and then you take the innards out of them on their first up run. So it's a subtle thing. It's just watching them all the time. And I remember years ago, Dad saying to me, he said, "Oh, you can't train 2-year-olds." This was before he died, and I said, "Oh, you know," I said, "you break them down." He said, "Well, I've got five Golden Slippers, this many Group Ones." I said, "You know, I mustn't break too many of them down." And I took the point after. It was sad that I had to wait till my father passed away. And I thought to myself, he doesn't break them down at all. He just gets them to peak at the right time, and they don't need a lot of work. You know, they're only babies, aren't they?
Yeah. Is it just a feeling, Gay? You just look at them, and you can just from experience.
Absolutely. I always say it's like a guy looking at a pretty girl. You don't need a second opinion.
That's a good line.
It's actually a good analogy, that. Yeah. Gay, can I ask you a question? You've been in the horse racing industry for so long now. Do you ever one day just think, oh, you know what, I just want to go and do something else?
Yes, many times I do. And I think to myself, you know, I hope I have the time in my life to do all the different things one wants to do. But I enjoy training horses, and I like the people I work with. I find it's a very diverse and interesting industry, and I'm top of my game. And you know, that also, you know, I don't think one has to retire, but one has to incorporate in one's life different things, you know, so that you can. You know, I've got two grandchildren now, and you know, so we've got a little farm out of just near Mittagong. So you know, there are little things that you'd like to say to yourself. You know, I want to be able to have some quality time with my family and the things that I pursue other than just training courses.
Well, that's the difference, isn't it, Gay? Racing compared to other sports. Stu was an elite cricketer, but they have their downtimes. Racing doesn't. And it goes 365 days a year, Stu, and there are times, obviously, when it's like you're on a treadmill. But, Gay, when you get round to...
It's a very pleasant treadmill. I'll tell you something. If you are truly a racing person, as you two are, and my husband and I are, you live and breathe. You know, you don't really think of it as, oh, my gosh, I'm going to work. You think, you know, I've got to get this achieved and I've got to do that. It's very much an achieving sport or business you work in, and I think that's what makes it so interesting.
And plus, Gay, this time of year, we're still in summer, but it's pretty much autumn carnival time now. And, Stu, I could see that glint in Gay Waterhouse's eye again yesterday, because the big races are coming up. This is what that hard work over summer and during winter is all about, these carnival times, Gay.
Well, I think the two main times of the year, I break the year into two sections. From January to Easter is very intense, you know, and you've got your everyone talks the Golden Slipper, now they talk the championships, and from literally, you know, August through to just November, everyone talks the Melbourne Cup and the Melbourne Carnival. And it breaks very clearly, and that's how you've got to sort of work your year. The horses are in work a lot of the time. You know, they get a lot of European people can't quite get their heads around horses going to the paddock. But in Australia, because we've got such amazing weather and the sunshine, especially in New South Wales, Queensland, Western Australia, is so intense. It grows bone with these young horses. And, you know, it's interesting going to the New Zealand sales and going to the Magic Million sales, the bone mass between the horses raised in Australia, where there's more sunlight hours and the grain is more, you know, intense the feed you're giving. But, of course, we're breeding sprinter marlers. And, of course, New Zealand's breeding marlers to marlers.
Exactly, yeah.
That's an interesting concept.
It is, yeah. Gay, there was, unfortunately for Team Stoden, the horse that ran second yesterday to Vancouver Outreach has suffered a pelvic fracture, so he'll be out for some months. But your other winner yesterday, Marty, is on a comeback trail from that very same injury, and she was terrific yesterday, and she's a great advertisement for modern veterinary science.
Absolutely. Time is a great... look, with young horses, you imagine your son or your daughter fractured their hip or something like that. In a year's time, you wouldn't even know. Probably within 6 months' time, you wouldn't even know. Well, with young horses, if they're properly monitored and rested, it will happen, you know. It was an enormous blow to George Altamonte and to Peter and Paul Snow, as it would have been to me also. But... you know, it's not life-threatening, and if it's well managed, which it will be, the horse should return. And what a lovely game horse he was, you know. He gave the winner a real shake, didn't he?
Exactly. Just one quick one, Gay. How is Vancouver pulled up, and is it still your plan to head towards the Silver Slipper next?
He's pulled up like his trainer.
In good form, then.
That's the question there.
In good form.
I had him poised for that race. You know, I hadn't made up my mind until the Wednesday before, and I said to the owners, on the day of acceptance, if I'll tell you if we're going to run, I said we're probably, you know, 60-40 or 70-30. I said, I don't want to start him unless I know I can be very effective with him. And he just every day just kept improving even from his trial to that race. You know, he was like a man with a mission or a train or, you know, on a line going forward. You know, he's pulled up super. And going back to Marty, you know, what a tough... You know, like, and what a sensational ride by Winona. She really has a clock in her head, this kid. They came to her in the straight, and I said, oh, blast, you know, she's gone. And the little Winona never panicked, and the little mare never panicked, and they kicked again, you know, and kicked in again. I love to see that with my horses.
Yeah, she puts her head down and her ears back, and she tries so hard. Marty, I'm talking about.
You mean Winona? Yeah. Winona, she puts her head down and her ears back.
Yeah, exactly.
She lives for her riding, Winona, and she's a very focused rider, and she's got a lot of talent. You know, very difficult for apprentices. I was only thinking the other day, Rob and I were talking, how many have come through the stable, how few have made it.
Exactly. She's a little star, and so is Marty, and so is Vancouver. And Gay, look, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's bright and early as always, but I know the Autumn Carnival's just around the corner, and it wouldn't be the same unless Gay Waterhouse had leading Golden Slipper contenders. So thanks for joining us again, Gay, and good luck going through the autumn. I hope we talk to you again a number of times.
Thanks, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
There she is, Gay Waterhouse, trainer of Vancouver, going for a sixth golden slipper.
It equals her late father Tommy Smith's record, well, so it's amazing.
It was interesting when she was saying that Dad used to say, I've got five golden slippers, and she's talking about, obviously, a bit Tommy Smith.
Yeah.
Well, she got five too, exactly. And now she can equal Dad with six.
I remember when, before TJ died, he said to me once in an interview that Gay Waterhouse, his daughter, will break all his training records. Everyone thought TJ was off his rocker. He's 100% right. She is extraordinary at what she's done.
She's got an absolute love of horses. It's 7:30, Big Sports Breakfast weekend. I believe it, it was always someone else's fault.
Possible storm, tops of 27. Good morning, I'm Gemma Barth. Socceroos fans are being asked to head to Pitt Street Mall this morning to celebrate Australia's Asian Cup victory with the team. The players that made Australian football history at ANZ Stadium last night will be on show from 10 this morning. There'll be a few sore heads in the crowd after the match against South Korea was pushed into extra time, the Aussies eventually prevailing 2-1. Coach Ange Postecoglou says it might be their first piece of major silverware ever, but it won't be their last.
This is not the end game for us. This is just the beginning. So even for this group of players, I certainly want them to enjoy this because they've worked awfully hard, and these are moments that you want people to make sure they get the whole experience.
Islamic State has reportedly executed a second Japanese hostage, Kenji Koto. A new video showing the beheading has been released. The Abbott government has taken a kicking in a new poll after a disastrous election result in Queensland. A Galaxy poll shows the coalition now lags Labor 57-43% on a two-party preferred basis. With 70% of the Queensland state ballot counted, Labor holds 44 seats to the LNP's 33. Campbell Newman has bowed out of politics after losing his seat of Ashgrove. The rebates for childcare services could soon undergo a shake-up. Social Services Minister Scott Morrison has conceded spending has failed to boost workforce participation. As a result, The Telegraph reports the government will ask the country's 3,000 largest companies to help pay for the overhaul. A teenage boy has broken his nose after he fell from a cliff in the Royal National Park. The 17-year-old was knocked unconscious when he plummeted 5 metres at Guatemala last night. Sonia Roberts from police headquarters says the boy's father waited for him as the search and rescue operation got underway.
The teenager was winched to safety and remains in a stable condition in St George Hospital. He's receiving treatment for a suspected broken nose and facial lacerations.
British actress Geraldine McEwan, better known as Miss Marple, has died aged 82. The BAFTA award winner passed away peacefully after a stroke and a period in hospital. Deputy Police Commissioner David Hudson is being touted as the next commissioner, and FebFast kicks off today, encouraging Australians to give up grog in the name of charity. In sport, returning to our top story, as Australia's players spent the night celebrating their Asian Cup win, South Korea was coming to terms with a heartbreaking loss. The visitors scored a last-minute goal to force the game into extra time, but it wasn't enough, with the Socceroos retaking the lead. Korean coach Uli Stalaik says his team can hold its head high, knowing it did everything it could.
Our players played today. We are also champions of a lot of hearts.
Serena Williams is within reach of Steffi Graf's Grand Slam record after winning her 6th Australian Open and 19th championship. Williams beat Maria Sharapova in the final 6-3, 7-6 last night. She's now closing in on the all-time record of 22 titles.
I would love to get there, but I have to get to 20 first, and then I have to get to 21, and there's so many wonderful young players coming up, so it'll be a very big task.
Novak Djokovic will be playing for a record 5th men's crown when he plays Andy Murray at Rod Laver Arena tonight. Injured Australian batsman Shane Watson won't be rushed back into the one-day side for the tri-series final against England at the Wacker. Rory McIlroy is holding a 4-stroke lead heading into the final day of the Dubai Desert Classic. 2011 Tour de France winner Cadel Evans will retire after today's Great Ocean Road race. And in the EPL, Newcastle has had a much-needed 3-0 win over Hull. This is Macquarie National. National News, it's 26 to 8. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A shower or two today, tops of 25 degrees on the coast, 27 in the west. A shower or two and becoming windy tomorrow. Right now in town it's 20 degrees, humidity's at 77%. It's 19 in Bankstown, 15 at Campbelltown, 18 degrees at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond, and 12 at Katoomba.
Heading into the world-famous Sydney Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio is your racing leader.
I got a drink in my hand and my only suit too. The vibe is in the air, I feel it. I love my life.
We love it when we back a winner.
I've got number 13, Serenade, possibly leading here. And even though she was outpaced on debut at Gosford, she did show natural pace to win her trial. So I expect her to go forward.
Serenade well clear from I'm Not Sure. And Serenade bolts in by five lengths. I'm Not Sure, Echo Queen third.
13, Serenade, Renton Abdallah, $15.50 and $3.
Paul Joyce, one of the late male experts that loves tipping winners on Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
If you're after a skids dealer that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth-moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skids dealer leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skids dealer from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsdealer.com.
Off the back straight, though, it's Chris and Me, and he is travelling. Chris and Me led by 3 metres. Guaranteed a second, third, Lenny the Shark. Then in fourth spot, Philadelphia Man. Third quarter was 26.9. Chris and Me in front on the turn. Guaranteed 4 metres away. Then Lenny the Shark. Dexter Dunn goes for home, and Chris and Me booted away the Kiwi. He's put pay to them, Chris and Me. Lenny the Shark running a great race. Adore Me runs on, but Chris and Me wins the cup. Chris and Me beat Lenny the Shark, third Adore Me, fourth in Guaranteed, then Philadelphia Man.
That was Chris and Me, led all the way, Stewie. He's the dominant pacer at the moment. He was brilliant out of the machine, crossed and led and was just too good. Bow-tied, Australia's best pacer. He had a tough run last night, Stewie. He got into the 1-1 early, but then James Rattray thought he better get on his bike, went out three wide at the bell. It's a long lap there at Melton, and... Mm. He had to do a lot of work. He's finished midfield. Don't write him off on that. But at the moment, Chris and Me is the form pacer.
Yeah, it certainly said, just listening to that race, then it was a Group 1 race worth $400,000, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. And most of those who raced last night will line up again next Saturday night in the Hunter Cup and then on towards the Indominion in Sydney. Chris and Me won the Miracle Mile late last year and beat Bowtide. And as I said, at the moment, he's probably just... got the edge on Bowtide at the moment, but come into Dom time, I'm still in Bowtide's corner.
Okay. 1353 is the open line number if you want to get in contact with the program. 0419 767 272 or 0419 SMS BSB if you want to send us an SMS regarding anything to do with sport, whether it be horse racing, the Auckland Nines, tennis last night. We saw Serena defeat Maria again for the 16th time in a row. It's just that's a mental thing now for poor old Maria Sharapova. She's working hard. She's doing everything she can. She just can't get over the line. And as we said, the big story coming out of last night's sport, Australia 2, the Korean Republic 1. Massimo Luongo scored in the 45th minute. Sun Heung-min scored in the 90th minute when we thought Australia had it in the bag. And in the 106th minute, James Troisi scored from some good work from Tommy Urich, crossing the ball in, put the ball in the back of the net. The crowd went apoplectic as they celebrated.
And the nation went apoplectic.
It did. Yeah. And look, I'd love to see some of the TV numbers coming out of this because it was free-to-air. Compare that to the tennis as well and see where it all sits. If you want to get us on the tweets, at Big Sports
Wen. How do you go measuring when you're channel surfing? What happens then?
Oh, I don't know.
Everyone would have channel surfed last night, wouldn't they?
You didn't have a choice. There was just so much on.
So how do you measure it? It's extraordinary.
Jeremy, there's another job for you. Jeez, did you find out about the boxing out there?
He's still working on that.
He's just put his finger up and gone, that's out. We're not talking about cricket anymore, mate, so we've got that sorted. Coming up after the break, we'll go to your calls and we'll talk to John Camilleri.
So Juliet at the 425, led by a length and a quarter from Pierre at Lake Geneva. Grain in the centre, followed by Yatana, Fireworks, and Tap Me Not as the widest coming down the outside. Juliet and narrowly, Grain looms up on the outside, entrancing the inside Lake Geneva, and Tap Me Not as thundering down the outside. Grain has taken the lead. Lake Geneva, Fireworks, Lake Tap Me Not down the outside. Lake Geneva, Grain, Fireworks on the outside. Maybe Fireworks on those Lake Geneva. It's a close photo, I think. Fireworks, however, not sure. Third, Grain was there. Machucci flashed home late. Wider out was Tap Me Not.
Gee, she was impressive, Stu. Really finished off fast. It was a strong win in stakes, and this filly has improved rapidly every start. Capped a great day for her owner, breeder John Camilleri. He also bred, but did sell Vancouver as a yearling. So to win both the feature races, two-year-old race on the same day, tremendous achievement for a smaller breeder. John Camilleri has been good enough to join us. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Ray.
Look, terrific achievement. And I know as a breeder, to see a horse like a Vancouver, you're on sale and going and win big races is a tremendous achievement. But then to see the filly you've retained after breeding her, Fireworks, win the win, it capped a great day for you.
Oh, it's an absolute thrill, Ray, and that's what you want to see. Breed good horses and see them get to the racetrack and, you know, the complete circle is, you know, winning a group race. So, yeah, great day.
Fireworks, she was buried back in the ruck there. She's not the biggest filly in the world, but she's got a motor, John, and that last 200 metres, she's done it a couple of times now. She can find the line.
Oh, she's got a powerful finish on her, and her sectionals last time, I'm told, were as good as any two-year-old is going around this season. So, yeah, Gerald's certainly got her going.
Mm. What is it about Fireworks that make it such a good horse?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think you'll have to talk to the jockey and Gerald, really. physically, you know, there's not a lot of her. She's got a big heart, you know. I mean, it's got to come down to that.
John, the horse isn't paid up for the big two-year-old races. Gerald's a master trainer of juveniles. If she keeps winning, what will you do? Is it basically Gerald's call, whether you go to the 150 large and go into the Golden Slipper?
Oh, it's totally Gerald's call. Mm-hmm. He said to me yesterday, look, he said, I haven't nominated her. I didn't realise that either, but he said, I can't go and ask you to pay $150,000. I said, you're the trainer. If you tell me to pay it, I'll pay it. I've got to rely on your judgement. So it's up to Gerald. So. Mm-hmm.
With Vancouver, is there a touch of sadness? I know you bred it and then on-sold it. I know it's great to see it win, but is there a touch of, oh, geez, I wish I'd hung on to that one?
Oh, absolutely. Touch of sadness, absolutely not. But I wish I had a piece of these five attempts of sadness. It'd be terrific. But, you know, like, I'm a breeder and a seller. I take horses to the sale to sell them. And, good luck to the people that buy them. They pay a lot of money for these yearlings. And you got to wish them well because you want to keep breeding horses, you want people to come back.
Yeah,
again.
Sure.
Absolutely not. I wish him well.
Yeah, John, Vancouver's by Medagliadoro out of skates. The mare.
That's right.
Have you still got the mare?
Still got the mare, and she's got a 2-year-old filly called Patini. She's a 3-year-old now, actually, with Mark Kavanagh, and she's had 2 starts and won a race, and she's showing quite a bit of promise. And I think Mark's setting her for the Adelaide Carnival this season. And
any yearlings or foals at foot at all? Or?
No, she doesn't have a yearling. She has a Pierre colt on the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which Peter O'Brien at Sedgen Hill tells me is a very nice colt. Mm-hmm. And she's in foal to Medaglio again and carrying a filly. So that'll be foal sister to Vancouver.
Terrific, yeah. And Fireworks is by Snitzel, who Gerald trained, was a terrific 2-year-old, Stewie, outstanding young colt. He's been a terrific sire. Out of the mare, Calvinia, who's the Dr. Grace family, has got a lot of stakes winners through that family. Any more of the mares from Calvinia coming through, John?
She just unfortunately absorbed the sepoy she was carrying, which would have been nice to carry through the whole pregnancy. But she got a sepoy colt for sale at Easter. And she's a 1994 model Ray, so she's 20 now. So I'm not sure there's any foals left in her. There may be one more, but we won't cover her unless she's physically 100%.
Yeah.
Look after the horse first.
Fair enough. Look, John, I know today's the first day when you stepped down from the ATC committee, which you've been on there for a couple of years. There was, I guess, circumstances through which forced John to step down. He did a great job whilst he was there. John, Sydney Racing, how is its place going into the Autumn Carnival, and how is its place going into the future from your perspective?
Oh, look, I think Sydney Racing is in a great place. What they've done with the championships and, you know, with the negotiations with tax parity going on, and the industry's hopeful, you know, that might come to fruition. I think that's all in good stead. Look, we've got the new facilities at Randwick. Rose Hill's getting its major upgrade in the next 6 months, which is all good. Look, there's been a little lull with field sizes, and it's not hide or run from that. You go through these patches, and there's various reasons for it, but we won't go through them now. But, I think the future's good, Ray. It's just a matter of time, and that tide will turn, and Racing New South Wales with John Massar and Volandis are doing a great job for the industry. And I've got no doubt the ATC, the new board there, will carry on the good work that's already been started.
Terrific. John, this is all about educating Stewie, you see, because I've got a month to get him into a horse, John, so I'm working hard on him, and I could see him starting to get interest in the sport. So we might have a new owner into the sport shortly.
Well, Ray, all you've got to do is around the 8th or 9th of April, bring to Inglis there at Newmarket, and bring him straight to the Sedgeno draft, and we can get him into a horse for sure.
There you go.
All right, John, thank you for your time. That was good on you, John. Appreciate your time this morning, and good luck with your horses and the breeding in the future.
Have a good day. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Camilleri. Brad, got to be happy. Yeah. Fireworks, yeah, Vancouver.
He raced a horse. His very first horse was way back in 1999-2000, Stu, a horse called Fairway. Fairway won the Spring Triple Crown of the Spring Champion Stakes, returned in the autumn when the then Canterbury Guineas and the then AJC Australian Derby. So he had a Derby winner with the first thoroughbred he ever raced. He's been hooked ever since, and it's good to see good people win good races.
See, I'm just making another note, another breeder I need to look at on the breeding schedule.
Heading into the world-famous Sydney Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio is your racing leader.
I got a drink in my hand and my homies do too. The vibe is in the air, I feel it. I love my life.
We love it when we back a winner.
I've got number 13, Serenade, possibly leading here. And even though she was outpaced on debut of Gosper, she did show natural pace to win her trial, so I expect her to go forward.
Serenade well clear from I'm Not Sure, and Serenade bolts in by 5 lengths, I'm Not Sure Echo Queen third.
13 Serenade, Brenton Abdullah, $15.50 and $3.
Paul Joyce, one of the late mail experts that loves tipping winners on Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
If you're after a skids deloader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skids deloader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skids deloader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsdeloader.com.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Stuart Clark and Ray Thomas sitting in the seats here right up till 10 o'clock, not 9. All those people that thought we were going off air at 9. No, bonus hour this week.
Did you have any luck negotiating extra hours?
Absolutely
hour
zero, right? Yeah, absolutely none.
That's what I'd ask.
I asked and they just looked at me and said, what? Who? What? It's 10 o'clock. That's it. Go away. Get out of my office. So we'll be here. Ray Thomas, Stuart Clark sitting in the seats till 10 o'clock. 1353 53 is the open line number and Tony's on the line. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, Tony. Thank you.
I just wanted to ring up to Stuart and Ray and say how much I enjoy your program and your interviews.
Thanks, Tony.
And, you know, the wide range of coverage to provide for all the sports.
That's what we're trying to do, Tony, aren't we, Stu? It's not just a little bit of racing, a little bit of sport, a little bit of everything, and hopefully a little bit of fun, Tony.
Well, there's so much sport on, Tony. We've got to try and cover it all. That's the hard part.
You're certainly on the right track. Mm.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You watched the tennis last night?
And I did watch the tennis, but... Like she's a bit, I think Maria Sharapova, you know, is up for anyone that wants to play.
Except Serena.
But it's a different level and it's a different mind game when she plays Serena.
It's been so long since she's beaten Serena.
And it becomes mental.
Without
and
doubt.
Also, we hit the ball occasionally. We hit too many balls straight back to her, and we need to probably. But that comes down to coaching, is to play different shots, not be always hitting the ball flat and hard to her. But you can only do your best, and up against many others in the world, Sharapova beats them.
Well, against everyone other than Serena, she usually beats them. It's 11-year domination, and it's a 16th straight win over Maria Sharapova for Serena. The record, it's formidable.
That's right. Mm. And just on the racing there, Stuart, I know you might be a little bit new to it. Stick with the man that's sitting alongside you. He would have a memory that would test the greatest of minds when it comes to racing and the breeding of the horses.
I know that, Tony.
All the best, Tony.
Everyone's telling me. Appreciate your call, Tony. Thank you for that. Big fan of the show.
Well, yeah, it's good.
Stay on the line, Tony. Yeah. All right, he's gone. We'll get him back. He's getting a prize. If you come out and start saying good things about the show.
What can we give him?
Look, Ray, we'll find something in here. Maybe that contract negotiation. We'll find something from a hat. Why don't we get a Big Sports Breakfast hat? Are we allowed to give those away?
Rocky DVD here, digitally remastered.
You've got your name.
I've got mine that day.
That's not going to anyone.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And Stewie, as I said, I'm harping on this same topic, but I've got a month to go. You're going to run me out of town before him. But look, we're joined by Anthony Gaffer this morning. And Anthony, of course, from bloodstockauction.com. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, terrific, Anthony. Thanks for joining us. And as I said to Stewie earlier, we're going to get him a little horse before his month is over here, Anthony. But look, sale coming up Tuesday on bloodstockauction.com. Anthony, how many lots for sale this time?
Mate, there's 41 in the catalogue, so, yeah, sort of our target we reached again, so 41 in this catalogue.
Any standouts?
Yeah, mate, there is actually. There's one, as far as racehorses go, there's a horse called Wow Factor. It's in work, it's with Gerald Ryan. It's one...
That's your talented horse, isn't it? Yeah, it's a talented horse, yeah. Anthony, yep.
And there's, it's for sale and... So I can get it and take it straight to the track, basically.
Anthony, at the moment, so you're keeping the auctions online to about 40 lots at the moment?
Yeah, look, we always said our first auctions will cap at 40. So now we're sort of going to remove that and let the numbers flow because we're pretty confident and comfortable with how everything's working. Sure. So, yeah, no, definitely now that we can sort of open the door to more open numbers.
Sure. Two sales a month, very regular. Why? How? How's that all that been received?
Yeah, look, that's, two sales a month. Obviously the reason for that is it just gives people that option for, to move horses is, it's obviously easy through our side and Having the 2 a month means that you can have a horse in full work. You don't need to wait a month for a sale, or you know, even longer periods. And going around and seeing people, and you know, they feedback was, well, that's a lot of sales. But then when you start talking to them, they go, wow, that's, you know, a real good idea. So many people that will go on and say love the idea of having 2 sales a month.
And the final countdown for our listeners, how's it been received?
Yeah, the final countdown. Yeah, they love it because it still gives you the feel of a a real auction. So no, that's been received really well.
Well, Anthony, we thank you for your time this morning. Good luck, bloodstockauctions.com. Plenty of horses there. If you want to buy, and you know I'm in the market, don't you? You know I'm in the market. I'm in the market. Ray's
pitching up hard here.
Ray doesn't realise that. I was asking Ray, can I get one for like $500 this morning? He's just looking at me going, you're an idiot. Go away. So, Anthony, appreciate your time. Thank you for your support, and good luck, and we'll speak to you again next week.
No, thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Anthony.
There is Anthony Gaffer from bloodstockauctions.com.au. Plenty of horses for sale. Just have a look at the website.
So that's another example, Stewie. Wow Factor's a horse that has got ability, can buy it. It's in training, and it could be ready to race almost next week for you.
Is that so? What are you saying? Just go with that sort of product?
We'll talk off air.
We'll talk off air, right?
Stewie,
yeah.
We've got some SMSs.
Sure.
Ray and Stewart, what's the reason that predominantly most Dali and now Godolphin horses a single worded names? That's from John at Moorbank. I can tell you the lady behind the naming of Dali and now Godolphin horses, lady named Suzanne Philcox, extraordinary the amount of research she puts in to find a horse, a name for the yearlings. There's over 200 every year. She looks at the stallion and the dam, looks at their parentage as well, and finds a common link somewhere. Some of the names that she comes up with and the obscurity of them, it's amazing the research she goes through.
Are you telling me there's a science to naming horses?
That when it comes with Suzanne Philcox, there is. Look, most of the time there's not, but with her, it's amazing how she can find a derivative of a horse and get a name from it. So.
Okay, would you let me name our horse, my horse?
Absolutely, yeah.
Coffee Cup?
Coffee Cup. You need to have a name that's like a champ. When you if your horse wins a derby, you don't want to say, oh, there's the great Coffee Cup. It's not going to work, Steve. You've got to have a name.
Look, 1350 350. What should my horse be called? I don't know. Once I buy my horse, 0419 767 272, 0419 SMS BSB. What should when I buy my horse, which Ray Thomas tips me into? Coffee Cup's not cutting it, apparently. What should I call it? I don't know. Boys. There's an SMS that's coming here. Did you see Ricky Stewart? Did not Ricky Stewart do exactly what Nathan Tinkler did at Newcastle? Jack from Cowra.
Yeah. Well, Ricky had a clean out, didn't he?
Well, he did.
Yeah, and he could probably argue he put Parramatta on the right road. Who knows?
What? That could be argued very strongly that and needed a clean out, and he did a lot of the heavy lifting. The problem is he didn't stay out. And the hard part with Ricky Stewart is because he didn't stay, he gets criticism that,
exactly,
you know, there's the what ifs and the what could have been. But just on the Nathan Tinkler thing, he put the broom through, I think it's five players, plus
some support staff in the back room, which another 3-8 in total. Mid-season, it's a tough call, isn't it? I know they've been underperforming, and the buck stops with the players, so to speak. But
it's just hard to do that because the players, you know, that's their living, getting paid. I imagine they're going to. You can't just boot them out. You can't sack them. I don't know what's in their contracts, but you'd imagine they're going to still get paid. I don't understand how they wouldn't, unless there's a performance clause in their contract that says if you aren't performing or you aren't in this, we have full rights to terminate your contract or whatever it may be.
A Cricket Australia contract for you, say, Stewie, when you're in the test team.
Yep.
Is there a clause like
no.
that? So
no.
if they wanted to cut you, what happens here?
Like they drop you. You don't get your match payments, but you keep getting your contract as such.
Okay.
So the Australian cricket and the state contracts, for that matter, and the Big Bash contracts are all basically you get a contract and you get paid that fixed sum. And then when you play, you get paid more on top. So at the moment, to play a test match for Australia, it's about $15,000 per test match. You don't get that if you don't play. But if you're Mitchell Johnson and he's rested, he gets paid it, but he gets his $800,000 a year base contract.
It's a tough gig. Just on the A-League, big game this afternoon, Melbourne City versus the Western Sydney Wanderers. The Wanderers have never lost to this Melbourne franchise. So I know the Wanderers haven't won a game this season.
Yes.
But is it now that little break work wonders with Sydney FC? They were back in their brilliant form last week, 5-1 against Central Coast Mariners. The Wanderers have gone 15 games or 16 games so far this season, Stewie, without a result. Or 16 games, is it tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Well, look, we'll wait and see. They haven't won a game all year. Let's wait and see. We've got the open line now. John's there. Good morning, John.
Stewie, how you going, mate?
Good. You got a name
Good
for me?
Yep,
morning, John.
You got a name?
A name for your horse, mate. Clark's Sharks.
Clark's Sharks?
Clark's Sharks.
That's got a ring to it, Stewie.
Yeah, I don't know, John. Not a lot of success with the Sharks over the years.
Hey, Stewie,
really setting it up for a fall there, aren't I?
Stewie, I could have been a lot more damning. But I'll go with that one.
Appreciate your call, John. Thank you for that. Clark's Sharks.
That's
yeah.
The race caller. Here comes Clark's Shark down the other. It'd be hard to say.
Yeah,
that.
The poor old race caller, poor old whoever it may be, going to really struggle with that. And you know what? Sharks just haven't. If they, you know,
is it their day in the sun? They
no,
got,
look.
Got
if they win the nines, I'll consider it in my many names that will be coming up. But at the moment, just
why don't we get Suzanne Philcox to name
your horse? No, let's take the fun out of it,
okay.
Ray. 1353 53. What should I call my horse? Taking your calls up to 10 o'clock this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.